One of the things that God promises us is a new life. It's a great promise, a great theory. But what does it actually mean? What does that new life actually look like and feel like? Mostly, that new life begins on the inside, free from guilt, free to live the most amazing life. It's certainly not what I expected when I became a Christian, but that new life, it's something I wouldn't swap for anything in this world. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again. Today we're going to take a look at your new life from a different perspective. And do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about a special resource that I'd love to send you to help you live in the abundant blessing that God has ready and waiting for you. Imagine you've been in jail for the last 20 years, a prison sentence that was the consequence of all that you'd ever done wrong. And finally, the day comes for your release. You step outside, fresh new clothes, into the bright sunlight, and finally that jailhouse door clangs shut behind you for the very last time. Decades of prison routine, locked in a cage as it were, and today, at this moment, you're set free. How do you feel? What struggles are going on in the inside, coming to grips with this new freedom? What do I do? How do I live? What does freedom actually mean? My hunch is, for someone who's been in prison and is now set free, those are questions that would reverberate round inside for weeks and months and even years afterwards. Going from captivity to freedom on the one hand would, of course, be wonderful. But on the other hand, coming to grips with this newfound freedom would take time. It's a process, not an event. Today we're going to climb up in the Himalayas. At least, that's how one commentator describes the small passage that we're going to be reading today from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Roman Church 2,000 years ago. The Himalayas of the New Testament, he called it. In other words, the pinnacle, the place of wonder and glory, a place where we soar above the valleys below. Over these last couple of weeks, we've been looking at a series that I called Extravagant Grace. We've spent a lot of time looking at the central problem in our life, which is sin. And the reason for that is God deals so incredibly decisively with this problem on the cross. That's why it's so important. He sends his son to suffer and die a brutal death to pay for our sin. That's the priority God puts on this problem. And he does that to fling open the door to God, to give us access into a wonderful and intimate relationship with him. Forgiveness. And with that forgiveness comes a whole new life, a clean slate, a fresh new start. And that is fantastic. If you want to understand grace, look at Jesus hanging on that cross, bleeding, brutalized on that cross for you and me. That's extravagant grace. And we step into that grace by faith. In this letter that Paul writes in chapter 5, verse 1, he says this: "We have been justified through faith. And through that faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope and the glory of God." But stepping into that grace is a bit like stepping out of that jail, a jail of our own making, a jail of the soul and the spirit, where sin kept us bound up in that place. But now, when we put our faith in Jesus, God forgives that sin. And we step out of the jail, out there into that bright sunlight of extravagant grace. But now we have to come to grips with this new life. So let's go to the Himalayas of the New Testament to see what the Apostle Paul writes about our newfound grace, our new life, free from all the rules of guilt that bound us up before. Here we are in Romans chapter 8. He says, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ, the law of the Spirit of life sets us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of a sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in us, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit." See, the law was the religious law that God handed down through Moses. And the Jews, before Jesus came, the Jewish nation, the chosen people, Israel, had to live by those rules. The problem with rules is, rules don't help us to change. Rules tell us what's going wrong, but they don't wreak change in our hearts. They don't solve anything. They don't fix the problem. In fact, it's the rules that condemn us. Instead, God decides to solve the problem. He sends Jesus. Through his outrageous grace, we get forgiveness. Jesus removes the condemnation. See, the law, the rules, are powerless to do that. They can't remove the condemnation, but Jesus did. Jesus sets us free. He lets us out of the jail. But see the end bit? He also wants us to have a different life. A life not according to the sinful nature, but a life according to the Spirit. And so Jesus condemns sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who don't live according to the sinful nature anymore, but according to this new life in the Spirit. The Spirit of God in us, leading us, guiding us, instead of being led by our own desires and our own passions. And that requires change in our lives. You see, freedom demands change. Otherwise, if we're just living back in the jail again, we drag ourselves right back into that prison cell, and that's exactly what Paul goes on to say. He says, see, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires, but those who live according to the Spirit, they have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God, nor can it. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. See, it's about having a change of mind. Paul says, you can either set your mind on sin or you can set your mind on God. The choice is yours. It's a simple choice and has simple consequences, death or life. But how do we get that life? How do we stand on top of Mount Everest and look down on the glory of God's creation and know that we are one with Him, living our lives for Him, delighting in Him? Where do we get the power to do that? Because neither you nor I can climb that mountain on our own. And Paul goes on to say, you, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but you have the Spirit. And if the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body may be dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of His righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. See, what Paul's saying is the very same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the one who brings life to us. This is no accident. God doesn't want us to do it on our own. God wants to bring that new life because it's an act of His grace. And Paul goes on to say, the Spirit Himself testifies in our spirits that we're God's children. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. And if we're children, then we are heirs, heirs with God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings. See, this is an awesome thing. The plan of God is not just to give us a new start, but to give us a new life. And the way we get that life is by shifting our mind from what we used to desire to what the Spirit desires and letting the Spirit of God bring a new life, a new freedom, a new peace, a new glory in our lives. That is grace. God is a God who wants to bless you, who wants to pour His extravagant grace out on you to give you a new life, however impossible that might seem, given the things you have going on in your life just at the moment. And that's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called God's Abundant Blessing, and it's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you actually lay hold of His mighty blessing and His extravagant grace. To request your copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com, and you'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow. with a different perspective.